بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فأقم وجهك للدين حنيفا فطرة الله التي فطر الناس عليها So turn away from everything and keep your face erect and firm for the deen that is absolutely straight and correct. So there's two commands here. The one command is to keep your face erect, straight, without any deviation, no inclination to one side or the other, absolutely straight. Now, remaining absolutely straight is not a very simple thing. And the reason for it not being very simple is that man cannot be compared to any other tangible object. You can't compare mankind with any other lifeless, tangible object. You've got a pillar there, you've got a column, right? It's lifeless. And you wish to keep it erect, you keep it erect. It doesn't incline to the right nor to the left. It doesn't move from one end to the other end. But then you compare this column against a human being, then human beings have got feelings. They've got emotions. There is a thing like sensitivity in mankind. Now when all these things have ganged up on mankind, he's got sensitivity, he's got emotions, he's got feelings, he's got sentiments, right? Then he's got people, he's got influences, surroundings, environments. With all that, he has to keep himself absolutely erect. He can't allow himself to be swayed by sentiments. He can't allow himself to be swayed by emotions. He can't allow himself to be swayed by surroundings and environment. He can't allow himself to be swayed by any influence. Keep himself absolutely erect. So it's not as simple as you may think. Absolutely straight. There's a lot of things that influence you. A simple example to illustrate, a man is living an average level of a life, poor, or a little bit average, less than poor, less than average. So you will see the simplicity in him. He's driving a car, he's very simple. If he'll wish you, he'll wish you with two hands, salam alaikum, wa alaikum salam, give you a smile, broad smile. And if he can also tell you, please come home. Now, just move him from this lifestyle and take him now to a lifestyle where he's got 2-3 Rolls Royce and he's driving in a car. And the highest level of that series. Now you make salam to him, so he'll make salam with you with the corner of his eyes. And he wants you a very broad smile. Just one finger, it's Assalamu Alaikum. So immediately there is a change in the attitude. The attitude has changed. Before he was a simple person, approachable, accessible person. Now you see how his whole attitude changed. So mankind cannot be compared to anything, any other lifeless object. Nothing is lifeless. It's got no feelings, no senses, no sensitivity, no emotions, nothing it's got. Nothing influences it. And you, there are so many things that influence the making up of yourself. So with all that, فَأَقْلِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلْدِينِ حَنِيفًا, absolutely straight, dedicated. فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلِيهَا. Fitrat is generally translated as disposition. There's different explanations to fitrat, 3-4 popular explanations. I won't go to all the explanations. But one explanation that was liked by the Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, I just want to present that explanation that he's given. He says, every creation comes with some type of an instinct. Call it an instinct, call it a disposition. A honeybee has got a certain instinct. It will look for the nectar, it will look for the pollen, it will want to make up its hive, etc. So that's the instinct from the very birth. You can't change that. Or don't change that. A cow is meant for its milk and for its meat, right? We all agree it's meant for its meat and its milk. And a horse is meant for riding. Now if you alter the thing around, that you keep the cow for riding and the horse for milk and meat, you're changing things around. It doesn't work out. It doesn't look right. It's not acceptable. It's not an acceptable thing. So in this huge ecosystem, Allah Ta'ala has created all these different creations, and every creation has got an instinct. It's got a disposition. Right? And it is diligent about this, the instinct and the disposition that it is created with. It's got a certain disposition, it's got a certain instinct, and it is committed to that. It's diligently working towards that. Right? So in all this system, then what is the instinct of mankind supposed to be? We worked out animals, we worked out a bee, and we read so many books about the bee and the honey bee and the type of understanding it's got, and what a superb creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we found out of every other creation, but then what's your instinct? What's your instinct? What's your disposition? Did we try to discover what's our instinct? It's one about everything else. One about the milk, how the milk comes out from in baini farthim wa damin, between the dung and the blood. Allah Ta'ala allows a pure, crystal clear, white fluid to come out. So he works that everything out. All the scientific reasons and how that thing is formed, everything, you went and found out everything else. The plant, you went and found out. And you found out there is a thing like pollination, cross-pollination, all that things you found out. Scientific reasoning, all you found out. You worked out that there was protons and neutrons. You found out everything else. So there must be something that is the instinct of man, that is the distinct disposition of man. Now look at it. I'm just explaining, expounding on this disposition, this instinct. If everything else is created with a disposition, with a tabiat, with a fitrah, then man is also created with a disposition. If you keep it and program it according to the instinct and the disposition that it is created with, then it looks nice, as though you are fitting in, as though you are not the odd person out there. Now imagine if you have a monkey standing at an airport, right, and he's doing the services. Say, there's something not fitting here. Don't you say that? You're supposed to be doing some other tricks. You're not supposed to be here. Right. A man was supposed to be marrying a woman. A woman was supposed to be marrying a man. Right? That's natural. Now if a man begins to marry a man, a woman begins to marry a woman, say, hey, there's something wrong here. Man. There's something wrong. We can figure it out. When we are in a more elite and educated, so-called educated society, then we can't talk about it. They will say, alright, he's the Mr. and he's the Mrs. Both are Mrs. But he's the Mr. and he's the Mrs. They will say that. Right? But we can't ridicule them. Why? Because it's a law. Because the people that are making the law, they have become corrupt. So now we have to also follow the corruption. Well, the wrong is right. We have to say it. Right? But we know within our minds that this is not right. It's not fitting on. It's not on. There's something that is not right. Right. So in this entire ecosystem, then what is the position of man? We found out of everything else. We found out about the ant and the community of ant, how it lives and how it procreates and everything else. How a bee and how it lives and how it procreates and everything else we have found out. But by what was your position in this entire equation? In this entire equation, what was your position? Did you ever take out the time to find out what was your position? If you haven't found out your position, then you are looking very odd in this whole equation. Right? And you'll be doing things very, very odd. In the words of the Quran, ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا. Leave them. So their life is no different to a life of an animal. They have made their life, they have dedicated their life just to enjoyment and procreation. What else? Enjoyment and procreation. So that's what they have dedicated their lives. Then if you try and work it out, is there any difference between that animal and man? If he's doing something scientific, right, then it is just to satisfy his intellectual curiosity. Anything beyond that? Is there any goal? Or have you satisfied your curiosity? And then what? After that, what have you achieved? Have you achieved anything significant? No. So if you aren't looking for a goal, that means you are lost in this whole system. This whole system, every person, every creation is doing its job. The sun is doing its job. The moon is doing its job. The night is doing its job. The day is doing its job. Every creation is doing its job diligently. So it looks marvelous. It looks nice. It looks attractive. Why? Because it's on the job that it is assigned for. The job that Allah Ta'ala has prepared it and created for, it's on that job. Right? It's on that work. So it looks nice. It looks attractive. We all marvel it. We all appreciate it. We all love it. The clouds, you look, they've been designed for a certain purpose. They are moving diligently on the purpose that they have been created for. The winds, they have been created for a certain purpose. They're also moving according to the system Allah Ta'ala has created them. The water is the same. But now, with all this, after all this brain-wrecking, what we need to ask ourselves, what is your position in this entire equation? What's your position? Have you tried to investigate? Have you tried to work out what was the disposition? What was your tabiat? What was your nature? What was your disposition? What was your instinct? So the Shah Waliullah Sahib says, now he was the philosopher of the time. In the last 3 centuries or 3.5 centuries, the world hasn't seen a philosopher as great as him. Even the West acknowledges his books. The East acknowledges his books. Everybody acknowledges his books. So there wasn't a philosopher as great as him. So he says, that fitrat here, what it refers to, is mankind, naturally he's got an instinct to recognize, to identify, to recognize his creator. He wants to know that who is my creator. You adopt a child, give a child for adoption, and don't let him know who his real parents are. Till the age of 20, he'll be a lost kid. He'll have a mixed type of a personality, a split personality. You will have to identify, you will have to relate to him that this is your father, this is your mother. And you have to tell him about it from an early age. For that child to be behaving normal, you will have to tell him, you have to identify that this is your real father, this is your real mother. But you don't mention that to him. You keep him in the dark. He is going to be having a split personality, he'll be a lost case, and he won't have that stability and that level of security in him. Why? He was left in the dark. And the day you let him know about it, now he begins to identify. He'll have that feeling of aggression, the feeling of hatred, but now he will learn to identify, well, this is my real parent, this is my mother, this is my father. For some reason, he may turn around against his own parents, that why did you ostracize me? Why did you cut me off? Why did you give me off for adoption? Did you not like me? That's a different issue altogether. But a normal human being, right, he will begin to take a liking that this is my father, this is my mother, and these are the people that I need to link up with. So, every human being has got this instinct, he's got this nature, this tabiat, that he wants to know who is his creator. Recognize. He wants to know, where did I come from? This whole journey, where did it start off from? Who did he start from? He wants to know this. So this is that nature that man has been created with. This is that instinct. After he's confirmed and established that this is the creator and this is the one that has created me, then naturally he wants to please, appreciate, show some appreciation to the one that has created him, who has afforded him the opportunity of existence. He wants to now show some type of appreciation that this is the person, this is the one that afforded me and blessed me with the opportunity of existence. Wasn't him, then I wouldn't have got this existence. It is because of him that I've got existence. So he wants to show appreciation. It's natural. I'm talking of a natural person. I'm not talking of a person that is too proud about himself. I'm not talking of a person who is haughty. I'm not talking of a person whose mind has become corrupt and confused because of surrounding and influences. I'm talking of a perfect normal person. Absolutely untainted, unblemished, unpolluted. His mind is not contaminated. Not contaminated at all. Absolutely clear. When there is no contamination of any type of pride, any type of haughtiness, any type of prejudice, then he wants to identify his creator. And after he's identified the creature, then his mind is telling him, then I want to appreciate him. What must I do to please this creator? So these are the two things. He wants to identify who is the creator, then how do I appreciate him? Who is the creator and how do I appreciate him? This is the meaning of fitrat. So when we come to the conclusion of this entire equation, what conclusion we come up with? The conclusion we come up with is you will not look beautiful if you have come with some type of a scientific research. Yeah, it will be a feather in your cap, but you won't look beautiful. One odd person, all right, he did something there. He made one air condition, all right. Or he built a car, he did this. But you will not look really beautiful. You will really look like an outstanding star if you fit into this equation. If you fit into this equation and you are functioning in conformity with this formula, then you will look beautiful. Well, hey, this is the reason he was created, and then he's conforming to that. When he's conforming to that, now he looks attractive. He looks beautiful. Imagine a baboon wearing a set of clothing. How will it look? Does it look nice? No. A man putting a set of clothing, now he looks nice. So Allah Ta'ala has created a position for everything. And the person that is serving at that position, he will look beautiful at that position. And if he's moved away from his position, he doesn't look right. He doesn't look right. So this is the whole, if you put your mind to it, and then you try to work out what was your position. And that's your position, to first identify. And identify correctly. And thereafter try to work out, then how do I appreciate him? What do I do that he must be happy with me? Because I started off with him, I end up with him, he's programmed this entire journey, he's programmed it. When he's programmed it, then the real thing, the right thing is then how do I commit myself, how do I dedicate myself, how do I conform to this? So these mashayikh and these buzrugan ad-din, the whole mission and the theme of their lives was to teach us that what is dedication? What does it mean to dedicate? What does it mean to give yourself up? What is the meaning of submission? So that was the whole theme of their lives. So they'll be the leaders of this entire journey. After the Anbiya alayhi salam, they'll be leaders. Because they are showing you, alright, this is the journey, this is the end, this is the direction. So they are the leaders. Right? And they will lead not just by illustrations, they will not lead just by theories. They will lead in a practical way, they will do it themselves. If they are talking of something, then they are leading in that. One Buzurg is having his mustache trimmed, you see. So the barber tells him, now just close your lips and allow me to trim your mustache. Because your lips are engaged in zikr. And the fear is that in the process I may just cut off your lip. So now look at his answer. He says, but I can't stop the movement of my lip. If you cut off the lip, there is a compensation for that. But in that second, in that moment that I don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't remember my beloved, there is no compensation for that. See, now that's the one that is leading us, he's showing us, alright, this is the theme. This is the very mission. This is the beauty, this is the attraction. If you got it, then you got everything. And you don't have it, then it's a moment of excitement. It's a moment of excitement. Momentarily, feel very excited, very elated. But you don't feel fulfillment, you don't feel the satisfaction. The satisfaction is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has declared it openly, he has announced it. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. You'll only find your satisfaction, you'll only find the fulfillment there. Otherwise you're just running around in circles. Say what you want, but you're just running around in circles. There must be a reason why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to say the importance of zikr. That Sahabi is asking, the commands of deen are multiple. A lot of commands of deen. But show me something that I will commit myself to. That keep your tongue moist, the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Don't forget that. The Quran is replete. Every other command is either seasonal or for that duration. Namaz for that duration. Roza, seasonal. Zakat, seasonal again. So every other ibadat is either seasonal or either for that duration. But with respect to the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, it's not a seasonal thing, it's not for that moment. يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي كُلِّ أَحْيَانِ Maybe someone will remember Allah Ta'ala all the time. There wasn't a moment when na'uzu billah, his heart was heedless of the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So you see, where this whole, what is the real theme? The theme is this remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, recognizing. You're coming from Him, you're going back to Him, recognizing. Do you recognize Him? Do you understand who you're worshipping? Do you remember Him? Do you talk about Him? Do you think about Him? In your quiet moments, do you think about Him? Then there is a person that comes up and inquires, jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously it is for the elevation of deen, striving, etc. Whichever form of striving, whether it is tabligh jamaat, whether it is bayan, whether it is jihad, whatever it is. But something better than that, the better thing is remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. This is noble obviously, but the thing that is even superior to all this is the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. And then Allah Ta'ala is commanding, do it in abundance. Don't just do it seasonal, do it in abundance all the time. And there mustn't be an interruption in this all the time. You are intimate with your family, then to remember Allah Ta'ala, this is the dua that you're going to be reciting. Right? You remember that dua, then this is the virtue. You're going to the toilet, coming out from the toilet, then to you in remembrance, you haven't forgotten. So you on par, your focus, you haven't removed away your focus. Your focus is there. One buzurg used to cry constantly in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. You don't only cry at the moment of grief, but you cry also in the moments of happiness. So tears doesn't only mean grief, it also means cheers, it's happiness. It's a pain of happiness. And the pain of happiness, you don't want to give anybody, but you tear also in the process. It's happiness, and happiness through and through. You want to meet the beloved. And you know that that real meeting will be beyond this life. But you in that state of ecstasy with the beloved. All the time with him. Muflisa amadim darkuwatu shay'an lillah az jamal ruwatu. Sometimes I think must write this down in the hearts. Muflisa amadim darkuwatu shay'an lillah az jamal ruwatu. I've come as a beggar, as a pauper, into your threshold. I've come through your threshold as a beggar, as a helpless person. By the beauty of your countenance, a little bit, something. Give me something for the beauty of your countenance. Now this must be the theme of our lives at any given moment. Muflisa'a madim darkuwatu shay'an lillah az jamal ruwatu. So beautiful. So beautiful. It's stated also so beautiful. The meaning is also beautiful. So this buzurg would cry all the time. Remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, the happiness, the ecstasy that he's going through for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not something that is against the hadith. It's not something against the Quran. The hadith is teaching us, shawqan ila liqaik. Allah Ta'ala, grant me that enthusiasm to meet you. I want to meet you. I long to meet you. Allah Ta'ala, grant me that that longing. I need to be meeting you. I want to meet you, Allah Ta'ala, to grant me that longing, grant me that enthusiasm to meet you. So you can imagine the longing that they have got, the pain that they have got. They want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They just want an excuse of Allah ta'ala. Now, let it happen. Ibn al-Faris, he is on the threshold of death, about leaving the world. And at that moment, all the jannats come with all the beauty, the splendor, and the greatness of jannat. The hoors and the palaces and all what you hear. So at that moment also, the ecstasy with Allah Ta'ala is at such a level, at such a peak. He says, In kana hadha al maqamu indaka, faqad dayya'na umrana. If this is our position in your sight, our life has been wasted. Just then, one special tajalli had come, a special nur, manifestation of a special glory of Allah Ta'ala had come in. Like how Musa alayhi salam, he had seen some manifestation of the glory of Allah Ta'ala. And he couldn't take it. He felt unconscious. It was so beautiful, so exciting, so great and so majestic that a Nabi who could slap Malakul Maut and take away one of his eyes, he was so powerful. He could give one punch to a person and kill him, knock out. Not only knock out, kill out. And he couldn't take it. It's so great. The glory of Allah Ta'ala is so great. Manifestation of the glory, the beauty of Allah Ta'ala, it's so great. There's little things of this world excite us. A little bit of diamond, a little bit of pearls, a little bit of woman. But what is the real glory of Allah Ta'ala? Now Musa alayhi salam, so he couldn't take it. And he fell unconscious. The mountain couldn't take it. So just then Ibn al-Faris, rahmatullah alayhi, he saw that the tajalli of Allah Ta'ala, manifestation of a special beauty of Allah Ta'ala. And then his life just departed. But this is what they work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yuriduna wajhallah, ibtigha'a wajhillah, waridwanum minallahi akbar. You are looking for the greatest thing. What are you looking for? The pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, the countenance of Allah Ta'ala, the beauty of Allah Ta'ala. You want that. He is the creator of beauty. He is the creator of love. You've got love in your heart, haven't you? So who created that love in your heart? It was He. So He is love, personification of love. So what must be He like? The epitome of love. You're getting carried away by a little bit bhajiyas here. It's all girls and bhajiyas and spoons and all that. You're getting carried away. The epitome of love. Real, pure, clean, beautiful. We haven't tasted it. Because we didn't taste it, we feel there isn't something like this. But just, Allah Pak, just give you a small little taste and see what happens. You'll forget everything of this world you'll forget. Everything of this world will be forgotten. So he's crying away and he can't stop his tears. Someone told him, "Bhai, you know, you're going to cry like this, you're going to lose your sight, your vision is going to be lost." So he says, it can be one of two situations. Either in the process of me seeing my beloved, the beauty of the glory of my beloved, I lose my sight, then it's worth the price. I saw it, then what's left to be seen in this world after I've seen him? I've seen him, what's left to be seen in the world? Is there anything left to be seen? A little small example, when you go to a wedding, right? You shouldn't be doing it, but everybody's focus is on to seeing the bride. Everybody, man or woman, wants to see the bride. Now you went to Orient Hall or you went to NJM or MJM, whatever. You went there, right? ICC, all the big halls you went. But you saw the hall, you didn't see the bride. Hey, what's the use of seeing all these things? I don't need all these things. I need to see the bride. That's the height of the beauty. It's the height of beauty. On that day, Allah has filled that woman with some type of nur. So you've seen that, you've seen everything. You know, I didn't see everything, that's alright, but I've seen what I needed to see. Right? So that's epitome of love, epitome of beauty, the height of beauty. Allah Pak just give you a small little particle of that. What happens to you? You are lost, that beauty. Allah Pak gives us that little bit of it. So you see, it's one of two situations. Either I got it, then I don't need this eyes. After I've got that, I don't need this eyes. And if I didn't get the beauty of Allah Ta'ala, then what's the good of this eyes? This whole thing, this whole exercise was to see the beauty of Allah Ta'ala, to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to reach up to Him. If I see Him, then it's worth the price. And in the process, if I didn't see him, then what's the need of these eyes? So these mashayikh, they work towards this, and they led people towards this. Shah Abdul Quddus Sahib Rahmatullah, his sheikh was Abdul Haq, Shah Abdul Haq Radolvi Rahmatullah. His level of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was at such a level. See, to bring the remembrance of Allah ta'ala to that level that there isn't a second that passed without his remembrance. So you are constantly in the trance as though Allah ta'ala is watching you. And you're not doing it grudgingly, you're doing it with a happiness. You're doing it with pleasure. You're doing it with delight. I want to do it. I don't want to lose sight. I can't lose sight. I want to be there. One buzurg was lying down. I don't know why my mind is working on this direction today. He's lying down, and there's a whole swarm of flies that are just troubling him. And he's lying down. You can see from his face that this is some other person. The nur and the beauty of his face, you can see some other person. One person comes around to chase those flies away. So he got very, very annoyed, upset with the person. By this was a moment that I was seeing Allah Ta'ala. Why did you have to come and disturb me like this? Why did you have to come and disturb me? I was absolutely in isolation. I was with Allah Ta'ala at this moment. And now you had to come and disturb me like this. At that time I was battling, I was striving for this moment. And now you got to come and interrupt. So this Abdul Haq Radolvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he used to say, Mansoor to bacha buwat. He was a child. He was a child. Because he just had one sip of the beauty of Allah Ta'ala, one sip. And he began to burp. He couldn't take it on. And here he's talking of himself. He says, here there's a man that takes on the ocean without any burp. What? He takes on the ocean. Yeah, he took one sip and he couldn't contain himself. Yeah, the whole ocean is taken and there's no burp at all. So they bring this love of Allah Ta'ala to that level. They work on that love of Allah Ta'ala. That love of Allah Ta'ala. The remembrance of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And they bring it to that level. So as though you're just wanting to meet Allah Ta'ala. Aradiyatam mardiyya. That you are pleased to see Him and He is anticipating to see you as well. You just want to embrace Him. You're working in that direction. Someone asked Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala asked him, Oh Ayyub, you know, I had inflicted you with this problem, sickness, approximately 20 long years. You had been separated from all your properties, your children, your belongings, everything had been separated. So which moment of your life was better? That moment where you had all big properties, you had wealth, you had children, you had all the splendor of this world, was that moment more exciting? Or this moment that I've taken these things away from you? So now look at the adab of this Anbiya alayhi salam. They teach you adab as well. He says, O Allah Ta'ala, I can't dispute your blessings. I can't deny your blessings. So bi'ayyi ala'i rabbikuma tukadhiban. Which of your favors can I deny, O Allah Ta'ala? But really, when I didn't have all these gifts, you know, then I was directly remembering you. I was remembering you directly. I didn't have all these complications. I didn't have all this networking. Then there was a direct line between me and you. Direct line. And when all this wealth came up, this wealth and this property and this children, whatever else, now I've got a line, but through all this, I have to go take a long cut now and come up to you. Before I had a direct line. The line was direct. It wasn't upset. It wasn't complicated. There was no confusion. I had a direct line. Now I have to go through all this. Still through my business, I have intended your love. To the wife and children, I'm intending your love. But before that, there wasn't anything. And direct, there was a direct line. So I was enjoying that. The second answer he had given, he says, when I didn't have all these things, then every morning I used to get a call from Allah Ta'ala personally. Allah Ta'ala used to call on me personally, and Allah Pak used to ask, Ayyub, teri mizaj kaisi hai? Ayyub, how are you feeling this morning? He says, in that ecstasy of that statement of Allah Ta'ala, that call of Allah Ta'ala, the whole day would pass. But now that all the wealth, everything has been restored, I don't get that any longer. So we're talking of Shah Abdul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Radolvi Rahmatullah Alayhi. His Khadim was Bakhtiyar. And this Bakhtiyar Khadim, he says, for 30 years, I had led the Sheikh to the namaz. His own town, born and brought up in Radholvi. And he couldn't find the direction of the masjid. But because of his strict adherence and commitment to the sunnah, then every namaz he was in the masjid. Though he didn't know the road. Now imagine, it's just a few blocks away to the masjid, but the khadim would go in front, and he would just say, haq, 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 and he would just follow the voice coming to the masjid, perform his namaz, and again he's gone. He's in a different state. He's not around, as though he's here, but he's at a different level. It's at a different plane. As though he lost his physical existence, he's just spiritually with Allah Ta'ala only, all the time. But the strict adherence of the sunnah, see, the sunnah is that road that links you up Allah Ta'ala with Allah Ta'ala very quickly. Allah Pak just takes a liking for that. That attraction for the sunnah, small or big, you're not even asking whether this is small or big. You are seeing who's the one that is commanding. You're not looking whether it is a big sunnah or a small sunnah or whatever. No, it's a command of the beloved. No, I just need to do it. And Allah Pak just takes a liking for it. He just feels an attraction for a one that is committed himself to the sunnah. Tere pyare ki shabat leke aaya hoon. Oh Allah Ta'ala, I haven't got anything to present, but I've come with the resemblance of your beautiful Nabi, of your beloved Nabi, I've come just with the resemblance of him. So Allah Pak just likes that. I've resembled your Nabi. I couldn't be like your Nabi, obviously. How can we have any link with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? How great he is. But at least I tried to resemble him at some level. So because of this resemblance with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala blessed him that even when he was in this state, he didn't miss out his sunnats. That the sunnat of attending the namaz with jamaat, he didn't miss it out. See the beauty of this sunnah. As the shortest way to expedite this whole journey is just keep yourself on the sunnah. But just with that additional intention, Allah Ta'ala, for your love, Allah grant me some portion of your love with ease. Just, a minuscule of your love, Allah Ta'ala, grant it to me. Allah Ta'ala,